the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, Lord, kept a record of sin, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children, and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins, and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Take the insert for the fourth Sunday in Advent. Chant the insert. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence.
Hear then, O house of David,
Is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey, and he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Turn to the front of your hymnal to Psalm 24. We chant responsively by whole verse. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein.
For he has founded it upon the seas, and established it on the rivers.
Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? From the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation.
Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Hallelujah.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Immanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Nicene Creed, page 206.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God,
Jesus Emmanuel. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's almost Christmas. We're drawing near to the celebration of Nativity. The Nativity, a Latin word, which means birth. Of course, the birth of Jesus. Today we see Mary and Joseph. We know about the angel who spoke about Jesus. The Nativity scenes are already up in your house, maybe under your Christmas tree, up on the mantle, on the table in your house. And you carefully set up the shepherds and Mary and Joseph, the angel, the cows and the sheep, and perhaps also the wise men. The Church of the Holy Nativity in Bethlehem, which you can visit, is built over the cave and the spot where Christ was born, accentuating the fact that the birth of Christ, his incarnation, is a historical event that happened in space and time. It is not mythology, it is history, real history. God has visited his people and come from heaven to earth. All over the world, Christians on the fourth Sunday in Advent are singing the hymn we just sang, all seven verses. The original writing of this prophecy was written by Isaiah in 700 BC, that the virgin shall conceive Emmanuel, which in Hebrew means God with us. And over 1,000 years ago, this hymn was written, the seven antiphons that take us through the whole Advent season. Take your hymnal and turn to hymn 357. We just sang it. On the right, you see the old great antiphons. I'm going to post all these on Facebook today and send it by email. The great old antiphons take us from December 17th all the way up to the 23rd, right before Christmas. And in the church, it's customary to speak or sing each one of these great old antiphons each day as you get closer to Christmas. December 18th, today, we will speak together the old antiphon for December 18th out loud. We speak, O Adonai and ruler of the house of Israel, who appeared to Moses in the burning bush and gave him the law on Sinai, come with an outstretched arm and redeem us. That's exactly what Christmas is about. The Lord comes with his outreached arm in the person of his Son and redeems us. So today, let us consider three parts of this historical drama. First, the Virgin Mary's holy pregnancy. Secondly, the stepfather Joseph's dream. And then thirdly, the child, God's Son, true God and true man. The Virgin Mary's holy pregnancy. His mother, Mary, in the Old Testament, Mary was the word Miriam or Miriam. Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but she had not yet come together in the marriage ceremony. Before they came together to be married, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. We know from Luke chapter 1 what happened. Of all women through all history, this humble, beloved woman, Mary, was chosen by God to be the one through whom the Christ would come. When the angel said that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her and she would conceive in her womb the Christ, she wondered how this could be since she was a virgin. He said, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and that which is conceived in you is the Son of God, and he will have the kingdom of his father, David, and rule forever. For with God, nothing is impossible. When the Holy Spirit overshadowed her womb, she conceived. And so Christ has no human father. God is his father. This is a miracle that happened once in history and will never happen again. The mystery and the miracle of the conception of Christ in a virgin, and she remained a virgin for the entire 9 months of this pregnancy. The Son of God in the womb of Mary. Mary should be highly honored. This beloved woman whose faith was so centered on the Word of God. But think of her. She now is bearing shame for the community. People now consider her an unwed mother, that she had gotten pregnant before she was married. We know she was bearing the Holy Son of God, but the community did not know that. We know this was foretold by Isaiah the prophet, that the virgin would conceive and give birth. Mary knew, but in the town and village, she would appear to be a woman who was an unwed mother. This is another part of the theology of the cross and the humility that she is carrying the Son of God, the Holy One, in her womb, and she had done nothing wrong. The Virgin Mary, we confess that we have a faith like hers in the Nicene Creed, that we believe Jesus is born of the Virgin Mary. She did give birth to her firstborn son, and nothing was indeed impossible with God. The Holy Christ was born through beloved Mary. Now, the doctrine of the virgin birth is one of the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith. If somebody denies the virgin birth, they are not a Christian. They may think they're a Christian. They may want you to tell them that they're a Christian. But if they think that Jesus had a human father, they are not a Christian. Because a Christian confesses that God the Father is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that He, Christ, was conceived in the womb of a virgin. This is why it's even in our creed that we confess. Oh, that we would have a faith like Mary. May it be to me as the Lord has said, and it happened. What an example of humility, of belovedness, and of faith. God grant us a faith like Mother Mary. Secondly, we have the stepfather, Joseph. Her husband's name was Joseph. Joseph was a just and kind and merciful man. He loved his betrothed wife, Mary. He was unwilling to put her to public shame. So he assumed she'd become pregnant somehow, not understanding how it really had happened, by a man. So he resolved to divorce her quietly, to do it quietly, so that there was no public shame on her, showing how kind he was and loving toward his wife-to-be. As he considered these things, however, in the middle of the night, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now note this. The Old Testament Joseph was called the dreamer. The Lord was constantly bringing dreams and interpretations to Joseph from the Old Testament. In Egypt, he interpreted the dreams of others. He himself had dreams. Every single time the New Testament Joseph hears the word of the Lord, every single time it comes in a dream, connecting the two Josephs in the Old and New Testament. The dream from the Lord is coming and telling him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Joseph, son of David. We know in the New Testament that both Mary and Joseph were of the lineage of David. And the reason they went up to Bethlehem to be registered is Bethlehem was the city of David, and that was their ancestry. The Messiah, all through the scripture, must be born of the line of David, the royal line. Jesus has the eternal throne of David. Jesus is both Son of God and Son of David. So Joseph wakes up from sleep, and he did exactly what the angel of the Lord commanded him. Now you notice that the word commanded is used. It wasn't a suggestion. He tells and commands Joseph, take her as your wife. Meaning, nothing untoward happened here. She has conceived by the Holy Spirit. You must take her as your wife. Do not be afraid. And Joseph obeyed. He did take her. And he did marry her. And did not know her all during this 9-month pregnancy until she brought forth her firstborn son. Oh, that we would have also the faith of beloved Joseph, the Lord's stepfather, who is often pictured in our nativity scenes as a man who has a lantern. He's called the guardian. He's got a lantern. He's guiding the family wherever they need to go. He's the protector of the family. Oh, how beloved Mary is to be chosen to bring forth the Messiah. What a wonderful, humble, and just, merciful man Joseph was toward his wife, who then would raise this family and they'd have additional children afterwards. Oh, that we would also have a faith like Joseph. Then thirdly, and most importantly, it's the Son. God's Son, but also the Son of Mary. Matthew says, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. You can only be born if you're a man. Jesus shares our true humanity, the Son of Man, the Son of Mary. He lived 9 months in a womb, which says how sacred the womb is. We must defend the life of the child in the womb. Jesus was in the womb for 9 months. He knows what it's like to be in the womb. He knows what it's like to be born. He was born. It was a miracle that he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. But God was his true father. He was also called the Son of God in power. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, we get glimpses of that. Remember his transfiguration when his face is shining and the Father's voice says, "This is my beloved Son." Remember him at his baptism. The voice says, "You must listen to him. I am well pleased in my beloved Son." Jesus is the Son of God and the Son of Mary at the same time. This is the mystery of the joining of the true natures of Christ, true God and true man. And you cannot separate those. Wherever Jesus is, he is there as true man and true God. Wherever he comes, in word and sacrament, when he comes on the last day. This uniting of the two natures of Christ is one of the great mysteries and doctrines also of the Christian faith, which we confess in the Nicene Creed. He's very God and very God, but born of the Virgin Mary. The angel says, give him the name Jesus. Now, Jesus is Greek, Jesus, but in Hebrew it's Yeshua, Yeshua, which means Yahweh saved. His name literally means Savior. So there is a play on words going on when the angel says, name him Yeshua, because he will save his people from their sin. He literally, in his name, is a Savior. Yeshua, or Yahweh, I should say, Yahweh saves. The Lord saves. He will save his people from their sins. He saves you from your sins. He doesn't come to save you from bankruptcy. He doesn't come to save you so that you're wealthy in this world. He doesn't come to save you from cancer. He doesn't come to save you from not being prosperous. He comes to save you from your sins. Our sins are like barnacles on the bottom of a boat that cause the boat to sink lower and lower and eventually go under. People without Christ, their sins are attached to them like barnacles on the boat, and they don't even realize it, that they're sinking under the weight of their sin. You see, when people do not have the righteousness of Christ, all their sins are on them until the last day and will expose them as being unbelievers who did not repent, did not have saving faith. Jesus came to save you from your sins. It's why the beginning of the service, you confessed your sins and heard the word of absolution. He washes them clean. And the way he saves you from your sins, he became true man, obeyed the law perfectly for us. Everything he did was to keep the law for us and to be sacrificed as our substitute in our place. He took our sins upon himself, and then he takes his righteousness and gives it to us. So the saints in heaven are wearing white robes. Jesus rides a white horse because we have been cleansed by the righteousness of Christ and our robes are made white in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus came to save us from our sins and to give us his righteousness. And then the name Emmanuel, which was given in Isaiah. Immanuel literally means with us, God. God with us. It's astounding what Christians proclaim. False religions going way back thousands of years tried to figure out what is God's connection to us. And the gospel of God reveals exactly. God is with us in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. The baby in the manger is God with us. The man crucified on the cross is God with us. The man risen from the dead is God with us. The man who gives you His body and blood in Holy Communion is God with us. This is who God is. Paul describes that in Romans, didn't he? The gospel of Christ Jesus told beforehand by the holy prophets from Genesis all the way to Malachi. There's over 300 prophecies concerning Christ. We believe in Jesus because He's proven that He is that Messiah. We don't believe in Jesus because He gives us a great life. We don't believe in Jesus so He can give us a hug. We don't believe in Jesus because He really makes us feel good about ourselves. We believe in Jesus because He is the promised Messiah. He fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies, and He alone is our righteousness. He's called God's Son by Paul. By the power and holiness of His resurrection, His miracles showed His power. His holiness was known and seen even by the centurion who crucified Him. And His resurrection and holiness proclaimed by the angel that said He is risen from the dead. But He's also David's son, according to His genealogy and His flesh. God the Father has placed His name upon Him. This is my Son. The apostles have proclaimed this to all nations, and now you and I have grace, obedience, faith, we're called to peace, and we are named saints. We always think of Peter and John and James as saints. We've got to remind ourselves, you and I, are saints because we're clothed in Christ's righteousness in holy baptism. We are saints. Which means we are on our way to heaven, and Christ has covered us with Himself. So my friends, Christmas is coming soon in a week. The names of Jesus at Christmas tell us exactly who He is. Jesus means Savior. Christ means Anointed One. Emmanuel means God with us. The reason we sang over and over again in the hymn, O Come Emmanuel, rejoice, rejoice, because Jesus is God's with us in His death on the cross and His resurrection and ascension and His coming again in glory. Jesus is with us through preaching, teaching, baptism, absolution, and Holy Communion. He's not far away. He's this close through these means. This is why we rejoice. And the world cannot take this joy away from us, because our joy is found in Emmanuel, God with us. As we go through these 7 days leading us up to Christmas and speak the O antiphons about Jesus, as we celebrate His nativity with Mary and Joseph and the angels and the shepherds, you go your way knowing God is with us, God is with you, wherever you go until the day you die, and will be with you forever in paradise in heaven. Rejoice in Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
The prayer of the church, we stand to pray.
Let us pray. Lord God, You promised the virgin-born Son, the reluctant Ahaz, and in the fullness of time, the Word became flesh. Open our hearts and strengthen our faith to receive Your Son in the signs present, in His holy Word and sacraments, Lord, in Your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, preserve Your apostolic gospel and its ministers. cause the name and the resurrection of Christ to be proclaimed to all nations, that the obedience of faith may be brought to every place. Bless Trinity Lutheran Church in 2023 as we proclaim the gospel in our community. And bless Deaconess Sandra Ryan as she serves as sacred music educator in Asia in Taiwan. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, it is your will that we live chaste and decent lives in all we do. Preserve all married couples in faithfulness and honor. Be with all families and parents and children and grandchildren. Since Christ is Emmanuel, who saves his people from their sins, clothe us in the forgiveness of Christ and stand before you cleansed and confident in your blessing. And be with us, O Lord, in our daily vocations and callings. This week, bless Vanessa Dykus, Lita Gilchrist and Susan Brown, Kelsey Hartman, Judy Matheson and Tim Anderson, Beth Brown, Ken Jordany, Dan Shem, and Joel and Caitlin Bacon as they celebrate their anniversary. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you do not bear with the tiresome flattery and unbelief of kings and rulers forever. Have mercy on us and spare our nation. Clear away all empty shows of piety. Renew genuine faith in the Virgin Son that it is coming, we may be ready for the Lord's return. To that end, O Lord, bless our communities and our government and our nation. Bless those who serve in the government, those who serve as police and firefighters, those who serve in the military, like Gobble, Emily Shelton, Alex Laffin, and Ricardo Batanga, Eli Wiley, Courtney Tate, and Danny Green. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your Son Jesus was born to save us from our sins. Give us repentant hearts. Grant, Lord Jesus Christ, according to your will, kindness on the sick and those in need of healing and strength. Grant healing to Mike McGuire, Vicar Jonathan Anderson, Pastor Barry Hakey and Bill Osborne, Lacey Dickerman and Pam Stevenson, Christopher Tomlinson and Mike Schultz, Tim Anderson, Lindsay Shem, and Candy Darmody. And we give thanks for the birth of Nathan Hurley Schuster to Neil and Emily Schuster. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who is truly the ruler of the house of Israel. Grant your Holy Spirit during this Advent Christmas season that Christ, who came to redeem us with his arms outstretched on the wood of the cross, born in the manger. Grant that we recall with thanksgiving this Advent as we look forward to his advent in glory at the last day. For you live and reign, ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. As we gather the offerings, sign the ritual friendship sheets and place them in the basket in the narthex as you leave. We gather the offerings. You may be seated. Service of Sacraments, page 208. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love, shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy.
Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your boundless mercy, you sent your servant John the Baptist to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood given us to eat and drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins and to proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. We give you thanks for the redemption you prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Exodus, page 211, we stand to sing. Upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.